Is there any more satisfactory feeling than correctly identifying the murderer? I turned the last page of the book and closed it, feeling a bit smug, because I'd worked out who did it before the denouement. I came back to my surroundings, aware of the quiet that permeated the train. No footfalls in the corridor or muted chatter filtered through the door to my compartment, as it had earlier in the evening, when I settled down after dinner with my mystery novel. The only sounds now were the steady thrum of the train's wheels and the occasional creak of the carriages as we swished through a turn on our way to the Alps. I pushed back the blankets and emerged from the warm cocoon of my berth. The upper bunk was unoccupied, so I'd had the compartment to myself, a luxury that I'd never experienced. In fact, I was rather gobsmacked that I was actually travelling on the Engadin Express, an opulent train on par with some of the grandest trains in the world, like the Orient Express and Le Train Bleu. When Jasper invited me on this jaunt, I'd been enormously satisfied that I'd been able to pay for my fare myself, especially considering that less than a year ago I'd had so little money I could only afford tuppenny buns. Thank goodness I'd been able to pay my own way. I couldn't have accompanied Jasper otherwise. I might be a modern young lady, one of the new working girls, but I certainly couldn't let Jasper buy my ticket. That just wasn't the done thing, at least not for proper young ladies. I picked up my sponge bag, creamed my face and brushed my teeth at the small sink fitted into the corner of my compartment. Then I shrugged into my dressing gown. I checked my watch that I'd placed on the little wooden table at my bedside. I'd wound it when I took it off earlier in the evening. When I held it to my ear, it was still ticking steadily, a tiny counterpoint to the rhythmic turn of the train wheels. I put it under the lamp on the table, the only light I'd had the attendant leave on in my compartment. Nearly 1:30. Goodness, I had been swept up in the book. At least I wouldn't have to wait for the loo at the end of the carriage. The door to my compartment didn't open smoothly. It had stuck earlier when I left for dinner, and I didn't want to yank it open with a bang that would wake my neighbours, so I eased it open. We must take advantage while we're in St. Moritz. Never have an opportunity. Again. I froze as the words carried down the hallway, only a whisper above the noise of the train. Someone was standing out of my view. The voice was low and furtive. I didn't want to interrupt, so I gripped the door handle, intending to carefully close the door and wait a few minutes before leaving my compartment. But a second voice, also lowered, answered. Tension threaded through the intermittent words that filtered in through the noise of the train. Ah, Wise? What about the body? How? Get rid. Frozen ground. Difficult. I didn't dare move. A tiny squeak would give my presence away, and I knew instantly in that instinctive way that one knows something in one's very soul, that I didn't want the two people in the passage to know I'd overheard them. Simple, the first person replied. All worked out. We don't have long before the attendant returns. Tell you more. They were moving away from me toward the other end of the carriage, thank goodness, their conversation fading. A door opened. Was it another door in this carriage? I strained to hear more, hoping they'd moved on to the next carriage, but above the steady pulse of the wheels, I heard a second click as a door closed. I rested my forehead against the shiny veneer of the doorframe. Oh, my.